So I am really, really excited to share this morning. I'm also, oh, thanks, the mug of water.
Woo!
That's all right. I'm excited to share this morning. I'm asking the Lord's grace and wisdom because there's so much that He deposited on the inside of my heart. And my heart's desire is that you would be blessed. And that there would be essentially that you would really, really capture the heart of the Lord and what He wants to release and do this morning. And so, Lord, in Jesus' name, just to encourage all of you guys just to lift up your hands. Say, Jesus, we want to hear the hum of your Spirit. Jesus, we want to receive from you fresh manna, fresh bread, fresh revelation of who you are and what you're doing, what you're saying, where you're going. What you're doing. Lord, we receive it. In the name of Jesus. Okay, I'm going to pray now. You don't have to pray. And so, Lord, I just pray this morning that, Father, whatever you desire to deposit in hearts, Father, Lord, that would come through me, Lord, I pray that in the name of Jesus, Lord, that it would bear fruit. And then it would bear fruit that would remain. And Father, I ask, Lord, that whatever is not of your heart and not of your spirit, Lord, that would come through me, Lord, that would just fall off. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we are thankful and we are honored, Lord, that we could gather together today under the banner of your name, Lord, to receive from you. Lord, we are truly honored, Lord. We're truly blessed. We're truly encouraged. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, woo! Thank you, Nikki. It's my lovely wife. Passionate lover of Jesus. Anointed drummer. Browns fan. Yes, she does passionately love me and extends lots of grace, love, and forgiveness towards me when I'm in my weak moments, which I do have, and we all do if we're really honest. So, and we are really honest because we love Jesus. But, so I'm really, 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 I use really a lot. I'm truly honored. I want you guys to know that I'm truly honored to be able to have this opportunity to share with you this morning because I know that moments like this right here don't come that very often. And so I'm honored to step into this place, step into this position. I believe that the Lord has something that He wants to release. But truly, I really want you to know that this isn't something that I just like take lightly and be like, oh, I'm just going to come up and like shoot from the hip and whatever happens, happens. Like, that would be a mistake because the Lord has positioned and ordered things in such a way that all of a sudden I find myself in this opportunity. I didn't necessarily ask for this opportunity. I'm grateful that I'm in it. I love it. I believe that the Lord has something to release through it. But I'm just honored that I'm here because I realize that the very position that I'm in right now to be able to share with you this morning is something that the Lord has done in my own heart. And it isn't something that I have specifically sought out on my own. He has brought me to this place. And so before you, I just want to thank Him and honor Him for the position that I'm in. Because it's an incredible position. And I'm thankful for it. And I honor that. And I honor that how that's been released. So that being said, get ready this morning. Because the Lord wants us to know out the gate from the very beginning what my heart is this morning to share with you is that that this morning it wouldn't be about us and what we can get from this moment right here, what I can get from the Lord. But this moment would be, Jesus, who are you? God, who are you? What new thing about yourself do you want to reveal to me that I don't know yet? And that then changes and shifts our focus off of ourselves onto Him, the only one that is worthy. And I was so blessed by all the songs that Christy was singing this morning, as I'm like, well, that goes perfectly with what I'm going to share with. That one goes perfectly with what it all just lined up. And I'm like, wow, Lord, I love when the Lord brings confirmation to what He's releasing, because it's just like, it's the sweet icing on the cake. It's like a little pat on the back, like you're going in the right direction. This is the direction I'm pointing you in, and then all these songs come up, and it's amazing. And so I have some notes here, and I have a Bible here, and so I have a couple pages. And we know, like last Sunday when Ben shared, he had like his Mac up, you know, and he's like, well, I'm on page 1, and I didn't necessarily get to page 29 yet. And I was like, wow. But then as I was positioning myself before the Lord, like all of a sudden this stuff just kept coming and coming and coming and coming. And it was really, 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 really encouraging. So I have a couple pages. So you'll have to excuse me if I'm in the middle of sharing, then I like run back up here and flip over to this page and this page and this page and this page. So the Lord was speaking to me a fair amount about the process that He had the children of Israel in when He brought them out of the land of Egypt. And He was kind of bringing a parallel to that in our own lives and us following Jesus. Now, how many of you guys here, you've heard beforehand the parallel of how Egypt is a type of sin in the world and the Lord? I mean, how many of you guys have heard that? You guys know what I'm talking about. So this morning, I don't want like our mindsets to fall back into what, well, I've heard that parallel. I know how all that works. I just believe that the Lord is going to bring a freshness to it. And really, as I've been preparing for this, I've been reading a lot of scripture, getting a lot of the word in me, and a lot of from the Old Testament of the accounts of the children of Israel, how the Lord led them out of Egypt, how He was with them in the desert, how they came up to the edge of the promised land. And I was reading a lot in like Numbers and Deuteronomy, and sometimes I don't really get into those books a lot, but as I was reading them, there was just such a fresh perspective, because this is Moses writing these things down, and the way that he kind of just sometimes personally puts it, it was just really refreshing. And one of the things that the Lord led the children of Israel to do is that He led them up to the edge of the promised land. And He was going to give them, not give them, but He was basically commanding them, now is the time for you to cross over, to go in and to possess the land, to take it. It's yours. I've brought you out of Egypt. I've led you through the desert with the the pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire. He shows up to His people every day. He feeds them with manna every day. The children of Israel see the glory of God every day in the form of a cloud and at night fire. Like, imagine if you're in the desert, there's nothing else around, there's beautiful stars, you're probably with over 1 million people, and you're camping, and at the edge of your camp is this giant pillar of fire that lights up everything, every day. Then during the day, there's this giant cloud that's there, every day. And then there's times where the Lord's like, hey, we're moving on, and the cloud moves. And then everybody, they pack up all their stuff, and they begin to follow the cloud. So the children of Israel, then they see Moses interacting with this fiery cloud. And Moses sets up this tent outside of the camp where he goes and he meets with God face to face. And all the children of Israel know that God is meeting with Moses, because when Moses goes out to that tent, the cloud, the pillar of cloud or fire, moves from where it's at over to this tent. And the scripture talks about how all the children of Israel are standing there and they're watching this happen. And they worship the Lord as he's going because they realize, wow, he's speaking face to face with Moses. He's meeting with him, man to God, person to person. And it was just kind of stirring up in my mind, like the children of Israel were interacting and seeing and observing this all the time, all day, all night. Yet how many of us know that the children of Israel had some problems? Some problems in the desert. Some problems right up when they came up to the promised land. And if you could turn in your Bibles to Numbers, which is kind of a, I got to tell you what chapter of Numbers. Can you bring it up there, Bethany? You guys found Numbers?
Yep.
Sorry, I'm coming. I'm going to make sure I find the right spot. Sorry, I'm in Deuteronomy. I have to get over to Numbers. You guys still happy? Well, while I find that, because it, sorry, there were so many scriptures that this morning I'm sending Bethany like chapters. All right, sorry, I was wrong. Before I get to Numbers, this is Deuteronomy 1. Which I didn't give her a slide for, so. So in Deuteronomy 1, 20 and 21, this is God speaking, or Moses speaking to the children of Israel. He says, "There I said to you, you have come to the hill country of Emroi, which Adonai, our God, is giving to us. Look, Adonai, your God, has placed the land before you. Go up, take possession as Adonai, the God of your ancestors, has told you. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Go up. Here's the land that I've promised. Take possession of it. Go in. Do it." Now, kind of when I was reading this, how many of you guys have heard the story about the spies that got sent out into the land? We've all heard that. So at this point, and I came across two things when I was reading, and this account in Deuteronomy, it sounds like, as you read further on, and we won't get into all of this morning, but as you read further on, Moses in his explanation to the children of Israel when he's writing, he kind of seems like, well, you guys approached me and said, well, we should send out spies into this land to check it out, see how it is. And then they came back with a report. So, but then another portion of scripture that I was reading this morning talks about how the Lord actually got Moses together and actually got representatives from each tribe and then sent them out to the land. So there's a combo of both. Like, Moses got them together, go see out the land. The Lord kind of affirmed and did that same thing. But how many of us know that when they came back, they had brought back a bad report? Some of them did. There were two people that brought back a good report, but the rest of them didn't come up with a good one. So in Deuteronomy 1:29, here's kind of God's, Moses still speaking. He says, "I answer you, don't be fearful and don't be afraid of them. Adonai, your God, who is going ahead of you, will fight on your behalf, just as he accomplished all those things for you in Egypt before your eyes, and likewise in the desert, where you saw how Adonai, your God, carried you, like a man carries his child, along the entire way you traveled until you arrived at this place. Yet, in this matter, you don't trust Adonai, your God. Even though he went ahead of you, seeking out places for you to pitch your tents and showing you which way you should go, by fire at night and by a cloud during the day. So here God's speaking to the children of Israel and saying, I've carried you from Egypt. I've brought you out. I've delivered you. I've brought you up onto the edge of this land. He led them every day, as I shared, with the fire, the cloud, up until this point. Yet they go in to search it out, and they come back with a bad report. And we've all heard that before. But the unique thing is that in that moment, God was providing them the opportunity of, I've led you this far. Day in and day out, I've led you this far. With the cloud, with the fire. I've led you up onto the edge of the land that I want you to possess. But the children of Israel at that point did not recognize the faithfulness of the Lord to them to lead them to that point. To lead them to that point of possession. To lead them to that point where they're going to break through and go in and possess the land. To where he expresses it, he's like, don't you remember how I led you by fire? I led you by cloud? So here, through the journey that the children of Israel are on, God was continually leading them point by point by point. And yes, it wasn't, yes, okay, we're moving from here to here, here to here, here to here. But they didn't necessarily know yet to the land that they were going in to possess. And here it's land that God had promised Abraham that they're going to go in and possess. So you might be thinking this morning, how does this, wow, this thing is acting weird. How does this relate to where we're at this morning in our own lives? And one of the things that I very clearly heard from the Lord this morning is that his desire is for us to go in and to possess the kingdom. Just like the children of Israel were led up to the edge of the promised land to go in and possess it, the Lord's desire is for us to possess the kingdom. Possess it. It's ours. Now, how many of you guys were here last week when Ben shared where he mentioned, like, there's the four types of people? You guys remember that? There was the, for those of you that weren't here, Ben, who shared last week, mentioned that there's usually four types of people in the earth. There's the non-believer, who does not believe in Jesus at all. Then there's a new budding believer, a new Christian, just kind of has come into the faith, new. Then you have a tired believer, one who has been in the church for a long time, kind of maybe is, you know, weary, sore, working, trying to do it. But I don't know if you guys were paying attention, but he never actually really ever described the fourth. Unless I missed it. He didn't describe the fourth. And so I was asking the Lord, who is that fourth? What's that fourth category? And he spoke clearly to me, said that fourth category is the kingdom-possessing Christian. They're the kingdom-possessing Christian, and they're the ones that basically are there to minister to the next three. The three that are also there. He's the kingdom-possessing Christian is there to minister to them. And so sometimes, without overcomplicating it, it's time for us to possess the kingdom. To take ownership of it. To own it. To run with it. To possess it. I'm owning and possessing this thing. I think I want to use that. It might be easier. So are you guys following me so far? So one of the unique things that God chose to do with the children of Israel when he brought them out of Egypt is he brought them out to be a demonstration to all the other nations of the earth who he was. He was demonstrating to the earth, here is this oppressed group of people that are descendants of essentially my good friend. And I have a promise with that good friend. And that promise with that good friend is that those generations I'm going to make into a mighty nation. And so God chose out of all the people in the earth, the descendants of Abraham to be in relationship with so that he could demonstrate to the rest of the earth who he was. Because he was demonstrating, I am the deliverer. I am the redeemer. I'm the one who remembers my promise with my servant Abraham for his descendants. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go into a situation where they're oppressed and I'm going to rescue them. I'm going to bring them out. I'm going to deliver them. I'm going to lead them. I'm going to dwell with them. I'm going to be with them. And God's desire with the children of Israel was to demonstrate to the nations of the earth, this is what it looks like with God in relationship with man. This is what it looks like with God dwelling with man, is this. This is what it looks like. But the children of Israel kind of, there were times along the way where God basically said, like, I want to destroy all of these people. He brought them out. He rescued them. If we could go to Exodus 33 up on the thing. So I shared about some of this morning about how Moses used to take his tent and pitch it into the camp afar off and everything else. Can you go down to, I believe, 17? Go up a little bit. 16. For wherein now shall it be known that I have found favor in thy sight? Moses is speaking this to God, and I thy people. This must be the King James Version. Is it not that thou goest with us, so that we are separated, if I and thy people? Okay. God bless the King James Version. The real, true version. There we go. So he said, let's start in 15. Then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here. For then how can it be known that I have found favor in your sight and I your people? Is it not by your going with us so that we and I your people may be distinguished from all the other people who are on the face of the earth? The people on, children of Israel are distinguished because God's working with them. The Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing of which you have spoken, for you have found favor in my sight, and you have known, and I have known you by name. Then Moses said, I pray you, show me your glory. And he said, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live. Then the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and you shall stand there on the rock, and it shall come about while my glory passes by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take my hand away, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Go to the next. Or up. Well, as she's getting the next. So God is speaking. Well, Moses is speaking to God and basically saying, like, I want to go But I don't want to go without your presence, because God was speaking to Moses. These children are rebellious, they're angry, they're frustrating, they're doing these things. But Moses is putting God in remembrance of his promise. And so, is that where the picks up? So now the Lord said to Moses, cut out for yourself two stone tablets like the former ones, and I will write on the tablets the words that were on the former tablets, which you shattered. Do you guys remember why Moses shattered the tablets? He was ticked off. Why was he ticked off, Peter? Made a calf. So God went up to meet with Moses, or Moses went up to meet with God on the mountain, and he took a while. And so the children of Israel, while he was taking a while, decided to throw gold in the fire and make a golden calf and say, this is the thing that brought us out of Egypt. The whole time while God is meeting on the mountain with Moses. And I'm pretty sure you could tell that God was meeting on the mountain with Moses because there was a big fire cloud on top of the mountain. But that didn't stop the children of Israel from making a calf. And just as I was thinking and meditating on that, the Lord was speaking to me and he said, sometimes when there's things that we're waiting for in our lives that take a little bit of time to come to pass, take a little bit longer than we think or we want, sometimes in those moments, a golden calf will just not suddenly appear, but it will show up because we're getting tired of waiting. You guys hearing me? Patience and endurance and long-suffering in the kingdom sometimes are necessary. That's not always fun to hear. I mean, we live in the United States of America. Like, I get annoyed if, like, an app that I have on here, like this morning when I was, like, checking the Bible app, and I was, like, using it, and all of a sudden it's, like, unable to communicate with the server. And it delayed, like, literally, like, 3 seconds. I'm like, oh. Come on. We can land on the moon. We can land a whatever thing they have landed on, a comet. But I cannot get this app to work on my phone in 3 seconds. And then, like, literally, like, there's a little annoyance that comes up my heart. I'm like, oh. Come on, don't show me that, you know, and then it works. I mean, we are living in instantaneous society. And so there's things in the kingdom that the Lord wants to release to us in the realm of us possessing the kingdom that don't necessarily happen overnight. But the Lord's building in us a testimony of his faithfulness, just like he did with the children of Israel by leading them with the cloud to point us, hey, I've been faithful in the past and I'm going to be faithful in the future. And not to let the fact that it hasn't happened yet, or it hasn't happened in the way that we want it to see happen yet, or the way that it's not coming in the way that we want it to, or the way it doesn't look like the way I wanted it to be. I wanted it to be this way, but God decided to come this way. I didn't like that. I wanted it to be the way that I like, which usually is easy and doesn't cost a lot of things, and I want to drive up to the window and order my food and pay my money and have it come quickly. Not roll my eyes in frustration while that burger should be only taking a minute. It's taking five. You know, you would think that there were times when one of my friends a long time ago asked me about, like, you know, going to Africa. And he's like, oh, man, that's a whole other world. I bet that really, like, changes your perspective on patience and everything else when you get back. I'm like, you think that it would. You think it would. But then when you're waiting in line at a fast food restaurant, it doesn't come as fast as you want. You're just, you still enter into a little bit of complaining. And I'm like, really? I've been to Africa. Like, I've been to Africa. I mean, I could say all kinds of things as far as delays and things that be coming in ways that you wouldn't want. You guys hearing my heart and that? You're getting that? But there's times where there isn't shortcuts in the kingdom of God. There isn't shortcuts in us going in and to possessing the specific thing that the Lord wants us to possess. But there's times where if it's not coming in the way that we want it, if it's not coming in that timing, then we get a little frustrated. We get a little bit upset. Our hearts begin to gravitate towards something that kind of has the impression of Jesus. It has the impression of like, well, I'm just believing. I'm just trusting. And there's times where that's true. You are doing that. But there's times that you could be saying that, but then in your heart, I'm like, taking forever. I've been waiting for so long. But in those moments of complaining and frustrating and not trusting and looking, the focus has shifted. The focus has shifted off of the cloud. The focus has shifted off of the fire, and it shifted back onto ourselves as far as what's taking so long. And one of the things that has so impressed me in the scriptural account of Moses is that the children of Israel frustrated Moses to the point where he broke the Ten Commandments. Like, God gave, give this to the people. And then he sees the people that he's leading, and he gets so mad that he breaks the thing that God gave him to give to them. But then when God says, I want to destroy all of these people, Moses says, nope. Moses steps in on behalf of the people that he broke a tablet over and says, no, Lord, think about your name. What will the Egyptians say if it turns out that the God that led them and freed them and delivered them burned them all up in the desert because he couldn't get along with them? Moses could have been like, well, God, you want to start another nation with me? Well, obviously, I'm the one who's following you and listening to you and meeting with you. I'm pretty good, but these people are crazy. I turn around and they make a golden calf. So if you want to wipe them out, fine with me. I'm great. Let's go. But he doesn't do that. But he doesn't do that because his focus is on the Lord's reputation, how he will be perceived in the nations, how he will look. How he looks. Moses is like, Lord, show me your glory. And the Lord's like, I'll let my goodness pass in front of you. And sometimes we always think of, yes, like, I want to see the glory of the Lord. How many of you guys want to see the glory of the Lord? I want to see the glory of the Lord. I tell you a secret. One time I saw the glory of the Lord in Mozambique, and I didn't know it was the glory of the Lord. Real short story. In 2003, in Mozambique, we were in Zimpedu in the children's center, and we were up front and we were worshiping, and we're up there and I see like this cloud up there, and these kids are all up front and they're dancing, and there's like a cloud, like a white, like, you know, smoky, misty cloud around. I'm like, is it dusty? Is it dusty up there? Like, are those kids like just dancing and kicking up all that dust? And I'm like, well, no, it's a concrete floor. There's no dust up there. That, what? And I'm like, well, maybe there's like, you know, food in the kitchen, because I know that they're making food after this, and maybe that's burning, and then, you know, the smoke from that fire from the food that's burning is getting blown across the front. And I'm like, but there's no smell. I don't smell any of that fire like that. I'm just, and my mind was just like, what's that? And then later we had gotten back. Somebody's like, oh my goodness, did you see the glory cloud up in the front when the kids were worshiping or whatever? I'm like, that's what that was? Like, I thought that was dust. I thought that was, like, smoke. And it just kind of, like, it's like, wow, Lord, I wanted to see your glory, and then I saw it, but I didn't realize I saw it because I thought it was something else. So if you see anything up in the front here, you know. But the Lord was bringing an awareness to it. Like, sometimes, like, my natural thinking was like, what, who, you know, we try to explain it. And then later it was like, oh, that's what that was. So when Moses asked the Lord to show me your glory, it wasn't just so, I mean, Moses saw God face to face. Like, God, Moses had interacted with God up until this point, but Moses was still like, I want to see your glory. I want to see all of you. I want to see, and it's like, you can't even handle all of me. I'll put you in the rock. I'll cover you. you know, you'll see my goodness pass in front of you. One of the things the Lord's been speaking to me is that his glory isn't just the cloud. It isn't just the fire. It isn't just a supernatural manifestation of gold dust or a cloud or, you know, the oil, which those things are great. Those are awesome. And I'm not minimizing those in any way, shape, or form. But part of the glory of the Lord is him demonstrating who he is. His glory was shown to the nations by delivering the children of Israel. His glory was shown when water was coming out of a rock. His glory was shown that he was leading his people by fire and by cloud. His glory was shown through specific acts that would demonstrate who God is. And so the children of Israel, when they came up to the land that the Lord was having them to go in and possess, they had forgotten the demonstrations of the Lord's glory to them. And as I've been just thinking and praying about this, one of the things that I realized is the children of Israel were going to go in and possess the land. There were already cities there. There were already villages there. There were already wells dug. There were already buildings. There were people that had been living there and everything had been established. Like, there were fields. I mean, they brought back a giant cluster of grapes. There was food. There was cities. There was, everything was already there. Everything was set up. All it is like, you go in, you possess it, you push out the people that are there, and it's yours. They didn't have to spend time to earn. They didn't have to spend time to dig or build. They didn't have to do any of those things. They could literally just step in and possess it. It's theirs. They would get what they did not work for, because the Lord's promise was true. So in the same way, in what the Lord's doing in us, when he's going and asking us to possess the kingdom, it's already ours. There's things inside the kingdom that we didn't work for, that have already been set up. The scripture talks about the wealth of the wicked is stored up for who? The righteous. Not because I have to have some awesome strategy to get it. It's because it's already in the spirit, in the kingdom, which is ours to possess. But one of the things that keeps us from possessing the kingdom, or one of the things that keeps us back from stepping into the fullness of what the Lord is asking us to step into, is honestly sometimes our frustration at the way that the Lord works or the timing that things come in. And sometimes that frustration can cause us to miss what God is doing and pouring out at the moment. Or sometimes those frustrations can actually cause us to construct a golden calf or an idol in our life, in our hearts. We don't necessarily see that that's happening, because it's a slow, subtle thing that's happening bit by bit by bit by bit. But I'm here to tell you this morning that the Lord is saying that now is the time to go in and possess the kingdom. It's time to possess the kingdom. It's time to let go of any frustration, any anger, any bitterness, anything that's on the inside of our hearts that is blocking us from stepping into more fully possessing the kingdom of God. But what does that mean, possess the kingdom of God? In the same way, I believe that that means that the same way that the Lord chose to reveal himself to the children of Israel so that the other nations of the earth then could look and see the children of Israel and be like, those are a peculiar people, because my goodness, God lives with them. He dwells with them. I've heard about him. Like, all the people in the promised land, they knew about the children of Israel because, like, their God freed them from Egypt. He's leading them by day, by fire, and by night. Of course, those people in the promised land were quaking when the children of Israel came up, because they're like, oh my goodness, that they wouldn't even have to fight for. It's just that cloud of fire that's there could come and burn us up. It's right there. The people that were in the promised land knew what was coming. But the perspective of the children of Israel was twisted because of their complaining, because of their frustration, because of the process that the Lord had them in. He led them out into the desert just not so that he could just, you know, I'm going to lead you out in the desert so you can just have a bad time. And you know, it's going to be hot. And like, he did not lead them out there to give them a bad time. He led them out there to show them, I love you so much that I rescued you out of the place that you were in.
And now I'm bringing you into the desert so that you can dwell with me because I want to be everything to you. I want to feed you. I want to clothe you. I want to possess you. I want to dwell with you. I want to be with you. I want to show you what it's like when man lives with the one who created him. And instead, the children of Israel response is, it's hot. And I get the same food every day. And I don't like it anymore. I want meat. I'm tired of the manna. Like, I'm tired of this supernatural provision that the Lord gives every morning. I don't want to get tired of the supernatural provision that the Lord releases to me every morning. Of like, oh my goodness, I got up and I can take a breath. Like, he's shifting our perspective to, hey, I want my eyes to be on him, not about on what I'm lacking. Like, the children of Israel could very easily be like, we don't have a house. Well, the fact that they were dwelling in tents, they were only going to dwell in tents for a short time. Because then they were going to go in and possess the land where there's houses. So those tents that they're living in, that's only temporary to where they get into the land that they possess. But probably somewhere along the line, they got frustrated that I don't want to live in these tents. We had houses back in Egypt. So my heart is this morning for you and for me, like, I want to, like, provoke you. Do not get frustrated in the process of what the Lord is releasing in this time, in this season, in this hour. He wants to shift our perspective onto what he's doing, because what he was doing with the children of Israel is he was positioning them to be a reflection of who he is in the earth. And what he's doing with us is that he's positioning us in the earth as Christians, as believers, as ones who know and love him, to be a representation of who he is. Like, that specific land was the promised land, which was theirs. Our specific land is the kingdom. And he wants us to rise up and possess it, because in us possessing it, it demonstrates to the other people of the earth who he is. Yeah. One of the things as I was asking the Lord in preparing for this, said, I want you to look at me. Because as you look at me, you'll become more like me. And as you become more like me, others will see me. They won't see you. And I was asking him, like, well, Lord, how can they see you? And he showed me this. I mean, how many of you guys have ever been, like, in a group of people? That was about probably the most general question ever. How many of you have ever been in a group of people? I mean, hello, Troy. We're in a group of people right now. Captain Obvious struck again. It's cold outside. So if you find yourself and a group of people, and there's a certain individual in that group that just for some reason begins to look up. You don't necessarily know what they're looking at, but more often than not, if they see somebody looking up, the natural human inclination is to what? Look up. Oh. And if you have like, let's say that there's something up there that nobody has noticed, but then the first person that looked up, they see something, and then somebody else looks up and they see something, and then all of a sudden, the whole group's focus will shift up. Now, that's if there's something there. If there's nothing there, then somebody might look, what are you looking at? There's nothing there. And then they'll go on their merry way. But we are looking at something specific. We are looking at someone very specific. We are looking to the only one who was found worthy. That's why I was so blessed by that song this morning, the last song we sang. Like, what are the angels looking at? I have to know. Like, I want to know. What do the elders see? I want to know. Like, I want to know. And so for me to look at the Lord, I have to look at the Lord. Like, I have to look at him. I mean, it's that simple. For me to look at him, I have to look at him. So when Patrick Josiah says, how do you receive? Oh, you just receive. It's like, yes, but give me some explanation to that. How do you look? You look. I mean, it's natural. It's what you do. Unless you're blind, and then we'll pray for you so you can look. But what you look at, the Lord's causing us and wanting us to look to him, because then that changes the very situation and circumstance that we find ourselves in. Now, I could give you guys a real practical example here. I can look, and the reason why I can look at land in Ghana, back there behind Spencer. There it is. Land in Ghana. It's ours. I can look at land in Mozambique. I can look at it. I can see it. I can stop and think. Because why on the face of God's green earth would he ever have somebody's pair of pants say stop and think on it? I mean, that's, I don't know about you, but that just blows my mind. Because what person has said, hey, you know, I'm making these pants today, and why don't I just put stop and think on them? And think that that's a good idea. Like, that's the fashion statement of the year is, like, that makes no sense to me why somebody would do that. But somebody did that, and then they're planting that thing on the land, stop and think. So I look at this land in Ghana, and I look at this land in Mozambique, and then I look at this land here, this building here. And, like, I know that the Lord is speaking to us to rise up and possess the kingdom, that now is the time to possess the kingdom. Now is the time to go in and do it. So then I would think, and I could have a chance to look at things in the natural and be like, well, there's not really a lot of people here. You guys are here, so, you know, a group of people. That's going to take a lot of financial resources. You've been in large groups of people. Got to take a lot of financial resources, and I could go down to list off all these different things that would be obstacles or hindrances to the bigger picture of what the Lord would want to do with these lands. And the Lord, I believe, is saying to me, it's like your focus is on the wrong place. Because if you would look to that, then I could run to the conclusion, well, I don't know how that's going to happen. It just might not happen, everything else. And the Lord's like, no, where's your focus? Because if your focus is on me, as you're looking to me, then I'm going to lead you by the fire, by the cloud. I'm going to have you call into remembrance how I've led you beforehand. I mean, we are sitting in a building that the Lord provided all of the finances for, to where it's here debt-free. So the Lord is saying, if I can do that here, then why can't I do that there? I did it here, so I'm going to do it there. Don't let your perspective, what you see in the natural, limit what the Lord is going to release there. Stop and think. Like, stop and think. He's going to do it. Because he's led us up to this point. And his goal is that for us to have our focus on him. Because as our focus is on him, then we can demonstrate to the earth who he is by... I love telling people that this building here is paid off. Why? Because it demonstrates... Not so I can... Look, yeah, we're awesome. You know, the Lord bless us and we're great and awesome and... Because the focus then is on me, but it's not. It's on the Lord and what he did. So then I can share that with somebody else and be like, you want a building? The Lord can pay that thing off because he did it for us. So, that making sense? So it's a perspective shift to where we're focusing. So the Lord's like, okay, I want to show you my glory. What does that glory look like? The glory is his testimony in the earth. So the Lord is building on the inside of you, and I believe that this corporate body, a specific, unique testimony of an aspect of his heart that he wants to reflect in the earth. To show other people that it's possible. To me, that's crazy. Because God could just, you know, do it. in the sense of that he could just come down, like, show you my glory. I'll show you my glory. Boom! Like, here I am. I mean, he could do that. Like, you don't believe in the Bible? Well, here it is. You know what I mean? Every skeptic, every individual, he could just like, here I am. Hello. But he doesn't choose to do that. He chooses to package and reveal himself through us. And one of the things that and I shared it to the group that came here on Friday night, but one of the things that was stirred up in my heart during our Friday night mini watch of the Lord was as we were praying, the Lord led us into praying over different aspects of, you know, redemption for life, you know, children that are trafficked in human trafficking. You guys know what that is, if there's any kids in here. And then also, like, covering child soldiers, covering people that find themselves in desperate, dark, horrible situations. And our group, we had child soldiers, and as I was praying into, the Lord was reminding me of different scenarios and situations and circumstances that I've heard of children, child soldiers who are just minding their own business in the village that they're living in. You know, people show up, warlords, whatever. They round up the young boys. They essentially force them, and these young boys are afraid for their life, they essentially force them to kill their family members. The kids. It's not like the soldiers do. The soldiers take the kids and make the kids do it. So can you imagine if you're a child soldier, you're afraid for your life, you take out your family, and then you're kidnapped, you're forced then to fight. You're forced into situations that you didn't ask for. And the Lord, as these things were happening, the Lord was just weighing on my heart of, what does that kid feel? What is he sensing? How much guilt and shame and condemnation would he carry in his life, apart from a knowledge of who God is, of, I found myself in this impossible situation and I murdered my family? Like, that would be an incredible weight around your neck. Insane. To the point where I think that would drive you to numbing your heart through drugs, everything else, because you have found yourself in a possible situation. You've made decisions that you are reprehensible. And you're a kid. Like, you have no emotional capacity for any of that. So the Lord was laying on my heart of just stirring up, of praying for those young individuals. And as I was praying, I realized there is only one individual that I know that could completely heal and restore that heart. Only one. There's only one who paid the price and made the provision available for that child to be completely set free of all that oppression, all that heartache, all that pain, all that death, all that destruction. One touch from the love of Jesus could so transform the heart of that young one that was in that lifestyle that they would be completely wrecked, that they could worship the Lord knowing that all the guilt and all the shame that they had in their life from taking out their own family could be washed away by the blood of Jesus. He's the only one that's worthy because he's the only one that can do that. Psychologists can't do that. Years of inner healing can't do that. One touch from Jesus' love can do that. And what does that do? That demonstrates to the earth who God is. It demonstrates he's the only one that could take this horrible, pathetic, wretched situation and bring life out of it. He's the only one that could do that. The only one. We prayed on Tuesday night for Pastor Benjamin, you know, who's in prison, for rescuing kids from the sex trade. And I had the honor and privilege to be there several times to meet him, to know him, to meet his wife, to see those kids, to interact with them. I was there and we were spending time with these kids where we're going to have a time of soaking. And so we put on some soaking music through the thing or whatever, and they just lay down in the presence of the Lord. And so I'm in this room and I'm seeing these kids laid out on the floor, some of them young as 5, all the way up till, you know, 17, 18, 19 years old. And each one of them had been rescued. I don't necessarily, some from the brothel, some just their lot in life was that they were going to be sold into slavery, but then they were rescued from the village before they even got sold. And now they're in this home. And so some of the most purest worship I've ever heard in my life came from those lips. Ever. Because they knew what they were rescued out of. And here I'm there, and they're lying on the ground, and we're listening to the Reveras, like soaking awesome, prophetic-y, whatever. And these kids are lying on the ground receiving the presence of the Lord through just resting. And I'm sensing the Holy Spirit overshadowing them, moving across them, overwhelming them with his goodness, with his love. And I just started weeping because I'm like, Lord, these ones right here have been rescued. And they have a song that is going to change the world. Because where there could be anger, where there could be bitterness in their hearts against their own parents for trying to sell them, it would be transformed by the presence of the Lord and by his love to where they would have hearts of forgiveness, hearts of love, hearts of grace, hearts to go back and rescue. Only Jesus can do that. And I got to see that with my eyes. Like, I'm in it. It's like, wow, Lord. This is the time for the saints to go in and possess the kingdom. This is the time, no matter where we're at in our own lives, this is the time where we're asking and crying out for the Lord to show us his glory so that we can see him for who he is in our present situations and circumstances, so that then we can be a reflection of who he is in the earth to bless and encourage our brothers and sisters next to us. That's why it's so important that we don't create a golden calf. That's why it's so important that we don't give in to idolatry and anger and frustration out over the process that the Lord has for us in inheriting and possessing the kingdom. Because what we will actually be doing will be robbing somebody of the opportunity to see how he is, to see who he is, to experience him in that way. Like, your life in God makes possible to somebody else what is possible for him to do. If the Lord can rescue that child soldier and restore and redeem him, then there's no situation and circumstance in your life that's too difficult for him to completely flip and turn around. Because each one of us in our own lives have situations and circumstances that are just as, not just as painful. I can't imagine killing my family. But each one of us, that's not to minimize in any way, shape, or form, problems and difficulties and situations and circumstances in our lives. And sometimes our focus gets on what we're lacking when the Lord says, no, let me flip and turn that to be where I want my fire to come into that. I want my cloud to come into that. I want to invade that and then flip it and turn it so that it can be then a demonstration of who I am in the earth. That's what we were created for. That's what we're here for. And so one of the things that the Lord has been speaking to me is that he's taking the focus off of us and what we are lacking onto him and what he has. Because then I can go in and I can possess the kingdom, because I'm thinking that all things are possible because he's led me up until this point. Not where, well, he's taking care of this and that's good and thank you. He's taking care of this and that's good and it's thank you. And one of those things actually is, I mean, it's a prophetic picture, but manna. Manna is a prophetic picture of basically the word of the Lord. Manna is a prophetic picture of bread, of life, of the word of God, of food that sustains us. And one of the things that the Lord really, really challenged me in is that there's times in our lives, and I hope that you hear my heart on this. One of the things that the Lord expresses to us to, what is the most desirable spiritual gift? Prophecy. Eagerly desire spiritual gifts, but above all that you may prophesy. So that's the Lord's heart. I want you to eagerly desire all these gifts, but especially that you prophesy, because you're taking the Lord's word, you're hearing it, you're releasing it. There's power, absolute power, in the prophetic word of God. We are a body and a house of prophecy of hearing what the Lord is speaking and saying and doing and declaring it, believing that over people. I mean, if I found that young individual, child soldier that I'll probably come across at some point in my life, then the Lord's going to give me his word for that young one that's going to unlock him into a place of freedom to where it's the, I'm prophesying the truth of who he was created to be. I'm prophesying the truth of his situation, that your life is going to be a reflection of the grace of God. All of that is released through prophecy. There's also scriptural principles and foundations that are also true that releases and creates that atmosphere. You guys following me? So there's times where if we're in the place of weariness, if we're in the place of weariness and the focus has shifted off of the Lord and who he is and who can he be for me in this scenario, and our focus is in on ourself, then there's times where I believe from the Lord's heart we will be satisfied with less. Make sense? The focus is on me, I'm going to be satisfied with less. And so then where I will begin to kind of waver and falter is I will still live on, you know, talks about in the scripture, like man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I want my focus to be on God so I can get a fresh loaf of bread every day. Every day. I want that fresh bread every day. It's for us. That's what he has for us every day. But my focus has to be on him to receive that bread, because he's the source of the bread. Now, if I'm tired and I'm weary and the focus is on myself, I'm going to let the occasional bread that comes my way satisfy me. But it won't last. So there's times. Now hear me on this. There's times where when we're weary, we will let the occasional prophetic word sustain us. And we will bypass the loaf of bread that we could receive fresh each morning. That makes sense? That's not to negate in any way, shape, or form the power of the prophetic word, because it is powerful. But the Lord, I believe, is shifting us to where I don't want just for the momentary bit. It might come here. It might come there. I don't know when that word will come. But then I'm just living from that word to that word to that word to that word. When my focus is on the word. Jesus, the true one who lives and sustains me. And so I know that I can come into his presence each day and receive fresh bread, fresh manna, fresh words from him. You guys hearing my heart? Not in any way, shape, or form negating the prophetic word and prophecy, but still creating a hunger and a thirst on the inside of me that, Lord, I don't want to just be satisfied with what I'm getting from over here. I want to be satisfied from what I'm getting from you. And this over here will be added icing on the cake. This over here will be confirmation. This over here will build up and encourage my man to keep going when it gets dry, when it gets weary. It's it's an added benefit. But you guys hearing my heart, I don't want you in any way to misconstrue that I am like watering down the power of the prophetic word, because it is absolutely powerful. And in the same breath, though, I know and I can say that some of the most powerful things that have been revealed to me about the Lord and who he is have come from my own one-on-one time with Jesus before this word. Because he's saying, I've got promises in here that I can speak to you in my presence that will enable you to rise up and to go in and to possess the kingdom. And you don't have to always wait for them to come from an external source. They're right here in my word, in my presence, as you take time to spend time with me. I will fill you with my word. I will fill you to be a demonstration in the earth. I will use you to accomplish that. I'm hungry for him to reveal himself and who he is through this, the word of God. Because the scripture talks about, in Hebrews 4:12, that the word of God is living and powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It pierces through. In 2 Corinthians 3, is this encouraging you guys? Good, because I'm going to go on for like another 45 minutes. I'm not. But I was just reading this morning and it just blew me away. You guys there yet? Okay, 2 Corinthians 3. It's up there, but I'm just going to read a little bit of this here before we get to 12. It says, "Now, if that which worked death by means of a written text engraved on stone tablets came with glory." Basically what they're saying is, when God revealed the Ten Commandments, when God revealed the law to Moses, there was glory that accompanied that. Like there was a presence of God that was added, the fire, the cloud, all of that. "Such glory that the people of Israel could not stand to look at Moses' face because of its brightness, even though that brightness was already fading away. Won't the working of the Spirit be accompanied by even greater glory? For if there was glory in what worked to declare people guilty, how much more must the glory abound in what works to declare people innocent? In fact, by comparison with this greater glory, what was made glorious before has no glory now. For if there was glory in what faded away, how much more glory must be there in what lasts? Therefore, with a hope like this, we are very open, unlike Moses who put a veil over and covered his face, so that the people of Israel would not see the fading brightness come to its end. What is more, their minds were made stone-like, for to this day, when the same veil remains over them when they read the old covenant, it has not been unveiled because only the Messiah, the veil, is taken away. Yes, till today, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as the Lord, the Spirit." How many of you guys have heard, obviously, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom? Do you see the context in which that was written? Talking about the veil that Moses put over his face because of his communion with the Lord. It was so bright. It was so strong, so powerful that he literally covered it up when he went out because the children of Israel would see, would look. But when a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. So we're able to see him for who he really is. But we can see him in a new way because in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God rested upon Moses, but it wasn't on the inside of his heart. And one of the things the Lord was speaking to me was, is that God chose the children of Israel to demonstrate what it looks like as far as God living and dwelling with a nation of people. But God dwelt in their midst, but he dwelt in their midst in the fire. He dwelt in their midst in the cloud. He dwelt in the midst at the temple with the Ark of the Covenant. That's how he dwelt with them. But in the New Testament, he dwells in us. He dwells in us. He dwells in us by his Spirit. So he demonstrates, okay, this is what it looks like for me to live with a nation. Now he's like, this is what it looks like for me to live with you. That's where the veil is taken away, where we can see him for who he really is. And the glory that was then was bright, but not what's going to, it's going to be incomparable to what's going to be now. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. As we look on him, as we focus on him, then everything else will take care of itself, because we're being transformed. Not because we're doing all kinds of awesome, amazing things. We're being transformed because of where our focus is. So this morning, the Lord wants to free us from where our focus isn't. And more often than that, that's just worked out in the problem areas of our life. And that's not to say that we're wrong or that we're bad or that he's upset with us because our focus is somewhere else. He's saying, I have it so much better for you if your focus is here. Because that's how you can practically demonstrate who I am in the earth. One of the most powerful things that I have ever experienced in my life was before I was saved. Not the most powerful, the one of. In the scripture, it talks about how the veil is over the face. And the Greek word for veil, I'm probably going to pronounce it wrong, but the Greek word for veil is called opate. And before I was saved, I was at a concert for a non-Christian group. Not good at all. And they had one song. Well, they have plenty of songs, but there was one song. The name of that song was opate. Same as this Greek word. That song was a sarcastic rendition of the gospel. It was a mocking of the gospel. Framed in the context of, oh, you're weak, so you need somebody strong to come and save you. Oh, you can't survive and stand in life alone. You need a rescuer. You need Jesus. And it presents all the truth of the gospel in a mocking form, in a sarcastic form. Same word as veil, as opaque. And obviously I knew the gospel. I didn't know Jesus, but I knew the gospel. Of all the songs and that whole concert that were sung, when it came to that song, that was the one song that everybody in that place knew. And that was the one song that everybody in that place was singing. You know, you're at a concert, you sing along. Like, I kid you not, of all the songs at this concert, that was the one that got the most people to sing along to. And the Lord was speaking to me about the power of that veil. Speaking of the power of when our focus is off. That you could be singing the very truth, but it's coming from a different perspective. And the power that could be released through that truth was missed because you weren't able to see it. Because the focus was on the wrong place. So the Lord this morning, I believe, is lifting off of us veils of negativity, veils of depression, veils of things that would rob us from seeing him for who he truly is. So I encourage you this morning just to stand up, or this afternoon. So Lord, we believe, Lord, we believe that you are the one who has freed us. You are the one who has delivered us. Lord, you are the one who is calling us in this time, in this season, Lord, to go in and to possess the kingdom, Father. Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that, Father, any veil, Father, of depression, Father, any veil, Father, of negativity, Father, any veil of doubt, Father, any veil of unbelief, Father, any, Father, veil of frustration and anger towards you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we repent, Father. Lord, we pray, Father, we repent, and Father, we ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, forgiveness, Father, for any idolatry in our hearts, Father. Lord, any idolatry, Father, anything that has come in to cloud the vision and the picture of you and who you are. Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you, Father, for your word to search us out. Lord, to search out our hearts. And Father, we repent in Jesus' name. Holy One. Holy One. Just believe that this morning that I would be doing a disservice if I didn't provide an opportunity for you guys just to respond, to present yourself before the Lord. So if that's you, and as I've been sharing, the Lord's been highlighting to you different things, whether it be a veil of negativity or whatever veil it would be, or any of that, just inviting you to come to the front. We're going to pray. To see that broken off, to see that removed. And remember, it's not from a place of the Lord being angry or upset. It's being in a place of that we're able to see him more clearly. We're able to hear him more clearly. Holy One. Holy One. Hoyananayedania shatananaye. And as you're coming, the Lord's just simply, again, reminding me that there's some times when we can hear a message like this where we think, well, it's just about me and my problems and what I need to change and what I need to get rid of. And our focus just subtly slips right back into me. Holy. Well, the Lord's desire in his heart is for our focus to be on him. The Lord is shaking everything that can be shaken. The Lord is shaking everything that can be shaken. And only his kingdom is unshakable. Only his kingdom and only his word is that which will remain. So, Lord, I thank you this morning as you remove these veils, Father, from us. As you remove these veils, Father, from our hearts. Lord, that you're creating inside of us, Lord, an even more unshakable kingdom. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just repent, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, for any doubt, Lord, any unbelief, Father, for any negativity, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, where we've grown weary, Lord, where we've stepped into idolatry, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you this morning that you're just going to specifically reveal to us what those things are. Lord, that today is a new day, Father, in the Spirit. Just hear the Lord saying this morning, won't you be satisfied with me? Scripture talks about how our God is a consuming fire, how he's a jealous God. He's jealous for our focus to be on him, not because he's some kind of egomaniac, but because he knows that when our focus is on him, that it changes us and that it changes those around us. So, Lord, I thank you, Father, for fresh bread, Lord, fresh manna this morning in Jesus' name. Hoyananaye. Yes, Lord. Oh, Lord, we receive from you this morning. In Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is liberty. Because the veil is taken away. Thank you, Father. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That you will rise up and possess the kingdom. That you will rise up and possess the kingdom. That you would rise up and possess the kingdom. That you would rise up and possess the kingdom. That you would rise up and possess the kingdom. That you would rise up and possess the kingdom. That you would rise up and possess the kingdom. You would rise up and possess the kingdom. But you would rise up and possess the kingdom. That you would rise up and possess the kingdom. That you would rise up and possess the kingdom. Holy. That you would rise up and possess the kingdom. And that you would rise up and possess the kingdom. Holy. Just begin to sing this out. Lord, I thank you that the veil, Father, is taken away in the Spirit in Jesus' name. Lord, new freedom, Father. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Revelation. You. Give you my whole. Here we will bow down, Lord. We'll say that we need you. Here I will worship.
Say that I love you.
So today, be encouraged that if you're here and you feel that there's times where you're in that wilderness place, like, Lord, why have you brought me out to this place? What's going on? I don't understand what's going on around me. I don't understand the situations and circumstances I find myself in. The Lord is saying that momentary and light affliction is storing up for you an internal weight of glory. That which seems like a desert right now is going to be turned into a fruitful field because the Lord is with you. And so as you go from this place today, know that in the presence of the Lord, as you present yourself before Him, that there's fresh bread, there's fresh manna, there's fresh revelation for you each and every day. So Lord, I bless, Father, each heart here this morning. Lord, I bless each one, Father, that is a burning one before you. Father, I thank you, Father, for their hearts. Lord, I thank you that you've drawn them here to this place. And Lord, I thank you, Father, for readjusting, Lord, our focus onto you. Lord, we bless you. Father, we honor you. We thank you today. We thank you today. Because you're the only one worthy, Lord. We thank you today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. So be blessed.
encouraged, strengthened. Obviously, we have fire and wind on Tuesday and the edge on Saturday.